Welcome to Words, Words, Words. This is your host, Robert Tinajero. On today's episode, I'll be doing a recap with a couple of my friends of episodes 31 through 39. So every 10th episode of my podcast, I like to have guests so we can discuss some of the topics that I discussed in the previous 9 episodes. So I hope you enjoy my discussion with my two friends, Marco and Wally. All right, so I am here with my two buddies, Marco and Wally. What's up, fellas?
What's up, Bert?
All right, so as everybody knows, my podcast has to do with like communication and discourse and rhetoric. And every 10th episode, I do a recap of the previous 9 episodes. And so I don't think we have enough time today to do all 9 topics, so we're going to do about 5 or 6 of them. Just have a conversation about it. So I thought the first topic we'd talk about, because obviously it fits our situation right now, has to do with the pandemic, with COVID-19. But I want to talk specifically about information and or misinformation that we're getting. And so I guess I'll start with, how do you guys feel that the country has done informing citizens about what's going on?
Let me start by asking a clarifying question. When you say the country,
I know. Go ahead.
Like major news networks or the president or
media, president, okay. Fauci, local news, social media. Is it confusing? Is it clear?
I think it probably depends on like what outlet or whatever, like that you're talking about, right? Because like you get like mixed messages from different people, but I think overall, I think most people have a pretty good sense, at least the information is out there about what the virus is, how you can help prevent the spread, you know, like all that information is out there. It's just the problem tends to be like what you get from different people. So like, you know, like the president has his own agenda and he, you know, couches things in a totally different way than probably like scientists and that kind of thing. But I don't know, like I think overall, like if you listen to the right people and if you have the right filters on, you can have a pretty clear sense about what we should be doing.
And do you think that
but I think a lot of people just don't put those filters on.
And do you think most people have those, what you're calling filters, to kind of understand what is kind of the more scientific based information as opposed to, I don't know, politically biased stuff or conspiracy theories?
I don't know. I think I want to say that my guess is that most people are sane enough to have those filters. And then there's probably, like, if you think about it as like 50% of people are, you know, sane enough to have those filters. And then there's the 25% on both sides that tend to politicize and everything, you know what I mean? And just make it more political than it needs to be. But those smaller majorities are very like loud voices, right? And then they start to kind of filter into people who, I don't know, I think are maybe a little bit more mainstream or just like the majority of people who I think are a little bit more clear-headed about it.
Yeah. What do you think, Marco?
I think there was a period of time where we were unified for about 12 hours and and then it just started to, the wheels started going off. I kind of liked the idea of maybe because I kind of operate in that type of setting where our superintendent will kind of communicate. We'll have a deep or a brief with everybody, so everybody's on the same page. And I kind of liked that the task force and the president, we're all together. I mean, he's the leader of the country. I like the idea of the brief, the daily brief, but then the wheels started coming off and it became completely politicized. And then I think the social media piece is a big part of this. Not only the old school where I don't even know if it's old school, where Fox now is one side, CBS, NBC, all these different sides. Social media also plays a role. I think more people are on social media than watching the nightly news like my dad did. So I think they're getting a lot of information, misinformation, and actually the way some of how social media works and their fancy algorithms, it's going to feed you more and more of what you want to hear. And yeah. I think that perpetuates division. And I think that's why we're here now. Like I said, it was about 12 hours of solidarity. And then, so I think the misinformation, and Wally or Chrissy's the phrase right, it depends if you go to the right source or there's just so many different opinions on what is right.
And speaking of misinformation, what are some of the wackier, like, conspiracy theories or wacky things you've heard surrounding, the pandemic?
Honestly, the wackiest thing is that if you drink freaking bleach, which that came out of our freaking president.
Yeah.
Like, saying if you just drink household cleaners, like, just drink that and you'll be okay.
Yeah. He didn't say it directly like that, but that's more or less what it sounded like. I also saw, like, for a while, the whole 5G thing was spread. Like, 5G towers were the ones causing COVID-19. Can you all think of other things?
Isn't there a new term out there, scamdemic or something? Where it's all a hoax?
Yeah, there was a plandemic that, there was a documentary where some debunked scientist was, spreading conspiracy theories of, COVID-19 and where it came from and all this stuff. I don't know all the details.
See, so I'm telling you, social media is, and that's one hashtag that'll hit like 500,000 followers somehow, some way, and it'll just catch a wave, and it's what you want to hear. And the reason I say that is I speak from, I have some family in kind of Northeast Texas, and it's incredible. It's incredible to hear the completely different mindset that, and they're my family. I love them, and we actually talk about it. We debate, we disagree respectfully, but there's completely different kind of ideas on this. It's crazy to me. Yeah.
So people are in there a lot of times, like, they're information bubbles, and I try to be aware of that, so I'm not only reading the information that's popping up on my social media because of my posts or who I tend to follow, but it's hard, right? Like, people kind of get stuck in this echo chamber, so it's kind of tough.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that horse is pretty much out of the barn, you know? Like, there's no way we're going to go back to what Marco was saying, like, watch the nightly news like his dad did, right? Like,
but there's obviously, you would agree that there's a lot of good in that, right? Like, we don't watch.
No, I think so too, but I just think that that's like that horse is out of the barn and it's not going back in, right? Like, because it's all like, it's really just confirmation bias, right? Like, you go to something that agrees with the way you think, and so that's why everything is just so polarizing, because people on both sides just go to the news sources that tend to confirm their thinking. So
I want to make a distinction real quick about just along those lines. I saw again on social media Ted Koppel was being interviewed by a Fox. I don't know the Fox. Yeah, I know. Some of my dad watched, but he was being interviewed by a Fox guy, and he asked him, am I dangerous for the country? And Ted Koppel answered yes. And the guy was kind of offended or shocked. I don't know, somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. But Ted Koppel told him, you're basically good at what you do. You are able to connect with the people, the confirmation bias piece. You're able to connect with the people that want to hear that. Mm-hmm. And you're so good at that. But that's what's dangerous, the separating fact from that. And that's what's scary, and that's where we're at. That's how
I talk about some of that in one of my classes. We talk about the democratization of knowledge, which, right, there aren't just a few people that control media and power now. It's much more spread out because of social media, and there's a lot of good to that and some negative. But okay, I want to move us on to the next topic because I want to get through a few more. So to totally change topics, another topic I talked about in one of my previous 9 episodes was rap lyrics. And specifically, I was talking about like literary devices, and we don't have to get into any of that, but you know, I talked about how rappers are doing things that poets have been doing for a long time, metaphors and similes and alliteration and you know, rhyme scheme and stuff. So I know both of you all listen to a certain amount of rap. So I'll just start with a simple question. If we're thinking about specifically lyrics, lyricism, like what rappers do you all think about when you think about they're communicating something that I think is interesting, or the way they rap, or anything about that? Like who do y'all like, or who do you think about?
Wally, you want to start?
Sure. I don't know. I think to me, he's like one of my favorite. I guess it's just like a little bit different. I have a couple, you know, that come to mind, but I think the one that to me is the strongest, just but like more like storytelling, is Notorious B.I.G. Just like, it's really just his storytelling. And, you know, I think that's really, I don't know, it just really sets it apart, where he can take like an entire song and it's just like one long story.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like the one that's on the, what's the name of his album? Like, it's like Life After Death. His album right before he died. But there's like a song on there where he talks about like banging some like NBA player's wife while he's like at his game. And then like he has to like jump out of the window. Like, it's just like this whole like storytelling, right? Like, I think that he was just like really, really good about that. And he had several lines like Ready to Die where he like tells a story.
And do you tend to like good storytelling more? Because, you know, me and Wally and Marco have been friends for a while. I know you get down with like just to get crunk with some, you know, some nonsense rap. But
I think so. Like, one of my favorites, though, like as far as like using visualization, mm-hmm. is like Wu-Tang, right?
Yeah.
And they do a lot of things that you have to like really listen to them a lot, and then also they use a lot of like symbolism and that kinds of stuff.
The full admission, I never got into Wu-Tang like that for some reason. I don't know why. Everybody else did but me.
Yeah, I kind of didn't either. Like, I respect them and they have some cool songs. Yeah.
Yeah, just go listen to their original, like the 36 Chambers. That's like an awesome one. Or go listen to the GZA. He has a really good one where it's like gangster rap, but they're breaking it down to like a chess game, to where like you move, do you make this move, I make this move, and everything's like real symbolism. So everything's like they talk about like gods and earths, so men are gods and women are earth, so like God and like Mother Earth. So like they use a lot of like symbolism like that.
How about you, Marco? What do you think about when you think about like lyrics?
I gotta go to kind of my our generation of Biggie, Tupac. I loved Warren G growing up quite a bit. He was kind of second tier, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Snoop. My favorite song of all time, that's kind of, I don't know, maybe I just, and then you got to think about the videos. I fell in love with a video first, and then secondarily the song was nothing but a G thing.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
From the Chronic album.
Yeah.
But man, it is totally different now, man. I think it's a dying art. And I hate to say that, maybe I'm just old man, 40 years old now. I think it's a dying art.
You sound like an old man.
Do I? I think
there's some pretty good stuff that's come out in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, like not all of it is good, but there's been some pretty good stuff that's come out in the last.
But I'm thinking like when I look at the top downloaded songs on Apple, mm-hmm. they're not storytelling songs. They're really
Yeah, you're
not.
Right. Not a lot. J. Cole's the one that does the most of that now, but
yeah, and I respect J. Cole immensely. And that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. That's why I say it's a dying art.
But to be fair, when we were, partying in the late 90s, early 2000s, we had some good storytellers. But we
also bling, bling.
Nonsense just to get hype.
Jingle Bling?
Jingle Bling.
No, Kendrick Lamar, as far as literary talent, Kendrick Lamar is my favorite.
Actually, the Good Kid, Mad City. Like, I can listen to that album like over and over, like just all day.
That's great.
But let me. Go ahead, Bert. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're right. I love, and maybe this is something y'all can jump in on real quick. Is I love good stories, and sometimes I want to just get hype. But as far as like wordplay, like me thinking like, dang, that's cool. Like I wish I could come up with something like that. Is Eminem and Lil Wayne.
Yes.
Eminem and Lil Wayne, dude. Like they say some like crazy, cool, smart, complex stuff. Jay-Z too, but not at the level of Eminem and Lil Wayne for me.
Yeah.
Do y'all like the wordplay, or do you think like sometimes they're just trying to sound, they're focusing too much on wordplay and not enough on like, well, what's the message?
No, I think it's their talent. I think they're just flying with their talent and what they do. And but like I said, that's a dying art. I'm gonna guess here. You go back to the year 2000, where Travis and I were listening to Eminem nonstop. He was probably kind of on top of the charts here. I'm going to give a theory here that what I noticed, and again, you also got to consider radio play and what's actually out there on the radio and what's being popularized out there. I heard a lot on the radio today, a lot of TikTok songs, like they're playing the full songs, but what that's evolving from 15 second bites of songs, rap songs, totally rap songs, 15, 30 second bites there, no wordplay. Then they get the radio play because there's like a billion users on TikTok, and then it just blows up. Yeah. Where the lyricists, I'm telling you, it's a dying art. I'm trying to bring it back myself.
I don't know. Did you guys ever see that movie? It's called like Top Five. It's probably like 10 years old now, maybe 7 years, but it was like, Chris Rock was in it, but it was like basically like one of like the themes of the movie is like who's your top five like rap artists of all time. And I remember at the time like I had my list, and like it's really hard to just come up with like my top five because that means I'm bumping somebody. You know what I mean? I was always a big fan of Eazy-E, but I'm like, man, I can't put him up there with like Nas, right?
Oh, no.
Like I'm like, man, I don't know. There's so many of them out there that are just so good. And then you add the newer guys like Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole.
Yeah,
like I don't know those guys.
Those guys are old now.
Those guys are like on a different level. Like I think if you listen to Kendrick Lamar, it's like he's taken like everything from the past and then like built on it, and it's like a whole different level. And then
yeah Somebody that that interests me, do y'all know Little Dicky? He has that show, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
On Hulu.
Freaky Friday.
Yeah, he's like, I don't like love him, but he's doing something really smart. He's doing like the, what is not expected from a rapper, like even his name, right? Going Little Dicky is like kind of a sarcastic, you know, thing that he's doing there with his name. And so anyways, if y'all haven't checked him out, like he's, it's really smart. Like it's something new that I've never heard.
The Jewish white guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway,
not true. Right, before... he's like the new Skilo. He wishes he was a little bit taller.
No, he's not like that at all. Who said Skilo? All right, before I go on to the next topic, real quick, everybody's got to give their top five rappers, and I'll go first to give you a second to think about. Five for me. Shoot, I forgot what my list is. Five for me is Lil Wayne. Four is, and I hate to do it, Biggie and Tupac were always one and two for me, but four is Biggie. Three is Tupac. Two is Eminem. And one for me is Jay-Z. I don't even remember who I said was five.
Lil Wayne?
Yeah, Lil Wayne. Yeah, that's my top five. Wally, Marco, quick list.
Go, Marco.
I'll go with, let me work down. So number one, top rapper of all time ever is...
Chingo Bling.
And really, I like Biggie more, but I gotta give it to Tupac because I feel like Tupac had more of a social impact,
yeah.
Like just more of an imprint. So Tupac, Biggie, Eminem, Jay-Z, and then Ice Cube.
Ah, Cube. All right, Wally, what do you got?
I don't know. I'm not going to put these in any order. I don't know. But I'll probably say Kendrick Lamar, Snoop, Biggie, Nas, and Easy.
Wow. Easy.
All right. I wish the whole podcast was about this because I could talk about that forever. But all right, we're going to move on to the next topic. All right. So one of my other episodes was about love poems.
And oh, sweet. So,
right. Obviously, my podcast is about all things communication and language. And so I wanted to talk about poetry in this one episode. And so we don't have time for me to like read the four poems I discussed in that one episode, but the four poems I chose, they were all love poems, but they were talking about love in very different ways. And so I'm gonna ask y'all a question and explain what kind of love each of those four poems was about. And what I want you to do is tell me one. I want you to tell me what poem. And both of you are married, so I want you to tell me what poem you would want to get from your wife, like right now, like on Valentine's. And then I want you to tell me what poem, maybe like if you would have wanted a different poem when you were younger. Okay, so the first poem I read, I think it was called Oranges. And so this is like a very sweet kind of love. And so it's about like a kid, probably, I think it says he's like 12 or 13, and he goes to a girl's house that he likes, and he walks with her to the store, and he buys her a chocolate, and then at the end he has an orange in his hand, and it's kind of like the orange is a metaphor to like how he's like glowing because he likes this girl that he just bought a chocolate for. So it's a very sweet kind of love. The second one is called I've Been Under Many Ceilings, and it's about somebody that's thinking about all the places they've been. So the ceilings is kind of like a metaphor for all the places they've been, right? It talks about how they remember the ceiling of the hospital they were born in. They remember their first like dorm room in college. They remember their first apartment, their first like house. And then it also brings up remembering like one night stands. And so at the end, yeah. So at the end, then is I've experienced all these things, including one night stands, but now I've decided I want to be with you. Okay, so kind of talking about experiences, and then at the end, it becomes a love poem because it's saying I've had all these experiences, including one night stands, and now I want to be with you. The third poem is also about experience, but it's more like a mature experience, and so it's the poet is talking about how they've been married for a while, and it brings up things that you wouldn't think about in a love poem. So it talks about how like when I was away at work for a weekend and you were dealing with like 30 diapers, you know, I understood why you were like mad at me that weekend, right? Or how I think it ends with talking about like despite like tooth decay, dandruff, acid indigestion, and all these things in our lives, I still love you. Okay, so that one was like kind of the more long-term marriage love poem. And then the last one was kind of a like sensual poem, where it's more about like writing about somebody's body and how it makes them feel and like the fire inside them. And so it's not like overly sexual, but it's definitely sensual. So my question is, let's say it's Valentine's, February's coming up, and your wife, you know, prints out a poem and gives it to you, or maybe she wrote it. Would you prefer getting the sweet poem about like kind of young love? Would you prefer the poem that is saying, I've had all these experiences, including one night stands, and now I've chosen to be with you the rest of my life, or the one that is about...
I have a lot of question marks.
Well, it's, I mean, I know it sounds bad. There's only one line about like one night stand. The rest is about like, I've had these experiences in my life and now I've chosen you.
Yeah.
Right. And then, so the third one is the kind of long-term marriage stuff that people go through, right? Screaming kids and getting mad at each other about, I don't know, what you're gonna have for dinner and like all that stuff. And then it's just explaining how they're happy that they're still with you. And then the last one is the more like sensual. So which one would y'all want to get?
Sensual, it's, I think the longer you're married, it kind of changes a little bit. Yeah. So I welcome that every second moment. So that, I mean, and I mean, it's coming from my lady. So that alone means more than anything. But if it's in that regard, if I got to pick, honestly, I'm going to go with that one.
So you want the one where she's like writing about appreciating your body.
His rock hard abs.
I didn't know that was one and the same.
Well, yeah, it's a kind of about, it's sensual, so it's about your body and the passion and
calves.
Your calves. Your high cheekbones.
I'm gonna stick with it just because it relates to that and it kind of leads to that. So
okay, Wally,
you're thrusting. I'd probably go with the third one that's just talking about like the everyday things, you know, that matter. And then just because I don't think, you know, there's just so many things that like people show love to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, it's doing the dishes and, you know, changing diapers and it's, you know, making sure that we have dinner ready and like those kinds of things that like, you know, It's like a way of showing love. But
on Valentine's, wouldn't you all want, like, why don't you agree with Marco? Like, on Valentine's, wouldn't you want something a little more?
I don't know. I think it's just something like, because we don't always, like, take time to say thank you for something like that, right? You just kind of take it for granted because it becomes your everyday routine.
Yeah.
And when somebody tells you, hey, you know, when you do all those things, you know, you're a great husband, you're a great dad, you know.
Kind of along those lines, Wally, I don't know if it was Father's Day or something like that. I actually got a thank you to some degree in that form for, like, I don't know if it was washing dishes or I've noticed you've been picking up your socks more lately. I don't know what it was. But actually, I did appreciate it. But there's a bottom line for me. But I honestly could see Jacqueline sending a little more, like, most likely sending option 3.
Yeah.
As opposed to 4.
Yes.
But, I would like 4.
But hopefully option 3 will still lead to option 4.
Well,
so then maybe we could cover both bases.
Yeah, there you go.
That's true. Yeah, I think if I had to pick between, I think I would pick between those two. I think if it was Valentine's, I'd probably agree with Marco that the, like, more sensual one would be cool. But if it was just, like, for my birthday or some other occasion, I think I'd go with the third one.
July 25th.
Like, long-term one. That's right. Okay, cool. All right, I don't want to run out of time, so I'm going to go to the next topic. So another one of my episodes, I talk about an article that I actually use to have a discussion with my students, and it's called Escape Plans, and it's from Men's Health Magazine. And so the article is about ways to use your communication to get out of, like, what it calls, I think, tricky situations. And it gives, like, 6 different scenarios, but we don't have time to talk about all 6. So we're going to talk about 3 of them. So the first one is talking about if you need to end a friendship with somebody, how you should communicate that. And it gives 2 options. It says one way is to just be very direct and tell somebody, like, hey, like, I don't want to be your friend anymore, and this is why. Your other option is to do it indirectly, and actually the article suggests that the second option is better. It says if you need to, like, end a friendship with somebody, you should, like, slowly, like, not call them as often, slowly don't text them as often, kind of slowly ignore them, and they'll get the hint. And it says you should do that because you don't want to, like be mean and burn any bridges, because maybe you want to be friends with them later. And so I have 2 questions for you all. One, which option do you think is better to end a friendship, like be direct with them or just slowly start ignoring them? And then 2, have you all ever had to do this in your any time in your life to, like, somebody that was your friend and you don't really want to be friends with them anymore? And how did you deal with it?
Well, the friend one, I think some of it, I don't know, maybe I'm being too nitpicky here, but it, like, depends on the reason.
That was going to be my first thing, is, like, okay, it kind of depends on, like, how far over the line did they go.
Yeah, right? what's
explain
the...
So explain that. So what would they have to do that changes whether you're going to be direct or indirect with the way you kind of end the friendship?
Okay. I think if it evolved disrespect to, like, severe disrespect to the missus, and, like, it was, I always want to kind of give the benefit of the doubt in circumstances, like, maybe it wasn't that, but if it's been consistent enough, maybe it's some, like, disrespect to the missus. I wouldn't do that indirectly, man. I just talk to you man to man, just tell you. I can see where that theory option 2 would make sense, but that's just not me personally. Okay. I would just talk to you.
Would you ever use the indirect message if it was something smaller, like maybe some guy that was your friend or girl that was your friend for a long time, they're just, like, annoying now?
I think so. I mean, I haven't I haven't talked to you in what, about 6 months, Bert? I'm just kidding.
He's using the method on me right now.
So, bro, I got quarantined.
This whole podcast kind of reset the clock.
Well, Marco, that's actually why I asked you to be on this podcast. I have to tell you. I don't want to be your friend anymore. How about you, Walt?
Yeah, I think we do that all the time, right? Like, you know, when people are annoying to you, like, I mean, it can be people who are like really not necessarily good friends with you, but like we're closer in your like closer set of friends, and then it can just people like you like at work or something, right? Yeah. That you just, they kind of annoy you, so you just kind of, you know, distance yourself from them, or, you know.
So you think the better the friend they are, the more direct you have to be, like have a talk with them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on what it was that they did. Like if somebody was like a close friend of mine and then they stepped over the line, and if, you know, like Marco said, if it was disrespecting the missus or me or my family or even my house or whatever, then yeah, we would have a talk, right? It would be more direct. But
I'm trying to think if I've ever had to do that. Have you ever had to do that, Wally?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think I've ever had to like not be friends with somebody anymore. I don't know, but yeah, I've done it plenty of times. It's just people who just annoy you,
and
you just like, it's not really worth my time or their time for us to have this big like sit down like, hey, I don't want to be your friend, because I probably wasn't good friends with them anyway, right? Like there's
So can I circle back real quick, and I'm sorry to interrupt, Wally, but let me circle back to topic one. Because topic one, I've actually, it actually hasn't got to that point at all, but I know for some people out there it has, but it's crossed my mind. How do I disagree so strongly? We're on complete opposite ends of the spectrum of this scenario with and COVID.
About COVID, the pandemic, and like
right. It was both. It was a debate about, and it was with a family member, masks, and then it led to Black Lives Matter, and then just complete opposite sides. I think me personally, I operate in a space where I try to get benefit of the doubt and kind of try to listen first. But man, I bet your question here on this piece right now, it's probably at play a lot right now for some of the reasons that we've talked about earlier.
Yeah, I really like that you brought that up, because that makes me think about certain people, especially my family that I like care about, that have like kind of what I think are crazy political views, and I'm not gonna like ask them, hey, meet me at Starbucks, I need to tell you that, you know, I don't want to really talk to you anymore. It's more like me ignoring them more on social media and not just trying to get
social distance from them.
Yeah. Social media, social distance.
Hey, but this is where the sane minds are. When Wally, I think you're giving a lot of credit to the world out there, where sane minds of sane minds and logical minds, and I don't want to throw the agenda way off here, but I just think it's
no, I like the connection you're making.
I actually thought about that here in the last week. How do I, and again, that book, I gave it to the guy, and actually I've switched. No, I haven't switched. I'm still debating Victoria Nyave, who Wally hates.
I don't hate.
Wow.
But that book, Love Your Enemies, I gave it to that guy, Samuel Smith. He wrote me a card. I got a card in the mail. Like, thank you for, like, handwritten, thank you for giving me this book. That day he posted on his Facebook page about, like, it was, it was a far-right group allowing a Black Lives Matter group onto their stage to communicate. What attracted me most is the nonpartisanship of it. And I don't know, man. It's I don't think most people
are that sensible to stop and listen and at least try to be nonpartisan and just listen. And I just don't give enough credit to the greater society of that. I hope we get there.
But see, I think it's just most people are sensible, but the few who aren't, even if they're still minorities, they're just like it could be 20% on one side, right? But they're so loud and so vocal that the rest of the like 80% of people, so it starts to cloud like your view of everything, right?
Yeah, you're right.
And then what gets like news coverage, right? Like that kinds of stuff is the stuff that gets news coverage. And then
an Andrew Jackson statue being defaced.
But how many people do you like come in contact with in just your normal everyday lives do you think are just, man, I just can't even talk to this person. You know what I mean? It's very few.
Yeah, and like a quick example of that is like if we get on social media, the news, we see these crazy people that are like anti-mask, and I know they're out there, and there's decent amount of them. But in my everyday life, like I haven't seen a single person lose their mind. Like there are some maybe that when it wasn't mandatory weren't wearing it. Like for sure, I know there's different viewpoints on that. But on like, I think the reasonable people, like Wally is saying, they're not the ones that get the attention.
Right.
I think they're the majority of the people that are, you know, just trying to live their lives and, you know, be respectful.
Like it kind of goes to, like I was seeing this reporter this week talking about like what's going on in Portland. And like from our view, it's just like, man, it's just pure chaos in Portland, right? And then, but he's actually saying that when you're there in the city of Portland, it's like, it's confined to like two city blocks.
Yeah.
And so he said, like, you have, like, no idea. Like, everybody's just going to their jobs. Like, everybody's going about their day, like, just normal business. Like, everything is just completely normal.
Yeah.
And then you go to, like, those two blocks, and it's you know, it is pretty crazy. But,
so
like, for the most people, like, who actually live in Portland, like, it's just, like, a typical day for them. Like, nobody even knows that anything's even going on.
I'm gonna
sensationalized, right?
I'm going to move us forward here because we have about 10-15 minutes left, and so we're still sticking with that article. I said it's called Escape Plans from Men's Health Magazine website, and so there's a lot of different scenarios. I'm just going to talk about one more. And so right, this is a magazine that gives people, specifically guys, they tend to be the ones on the side obviously, advice on how to get out of different things and the communication to use. And so this one has to do with, I assume, something probably all of us have dealt with, either we did or had done to us, which is breaking up with somebody, right? And so it gives a few pieces of advice. When you break up with somebody, it says, don't do it at home. Don't do it at your place. It says, don't do it somewhere that has a lot of onlookers, right? You kind of want to keep it private. And then the third piece of advice, which I want to talk about the most because that has the most to do about language, is it says that you shouldn't use like I statements, like I think we should break up. It says you should use you statements. Like when you're breaking up with somebody, you should say, don't you think that things haven't been working out? And so I want to go, I want to talk about...
You should break up with me.
I want to talk about the, I guess, two things in there that my students like to talk about the most. So the first one is when you break up with somebody, where should you do it? Home, public, a lot of people around, no people around. Have you guys had to break up with somebody in the past? Where did you do it?
I think that's something that should just be private, like at home. I don't know. You said your article says don't do it at home, but
it did.
I think it should be like at home, private, you know, like face to face.
At your place or their place?
Well, I guess if like their place would be ideal, right? But
why? So you can leave?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Marco, do you agree that you should do it at their place or your place, or you would go somewhere more like not one of your places?
It's crazy that I gotta even say this, but hot take. But
I think generally speaking, the private route is the better route to go, whether that's your place or her place. But if there's an issue where you're concerned for your safety and reaction and just that, I think that has to be public, like just to some degree to protect your safety.
Yeah, what's interesting is probably about 10 to 20% of my students say exactly that. Like, they might do something crazy. I want to have some people around.
I think it's different for men and women, right? So if I was a female, I would probably want it to be more, maybe not public, but like in a somewhat public setting. So maybe if it's in your car or whatever, but like in
a park,
parking lot. Or yeah, park. I don't know. So I don't know. That's a good point, just because I wasn't thinking of it. I was thinking of it myself, but if,
yeah,
you know, I guess for females, like they may feel,
yeah, for sure,
like a little bit more, you know, threatened by what somebody might do to them.
Yeah, scary.
And what do y'all think about this?
I was the one scared. I was scared.
What about the second piece of advice, where it's telling guys, when you break up with somebody, use you statements. Like, don't you think that we've been drifting apart, instead of using I statements?
I think there's and by you posing a question that way, there's an inherent step that you're working towards consensus, and consensus makes breakups easier when you both agree on it. So I agree on that end. But when you first said that, when you first said it, I thought you meant it in a way that was like accusatory, like, you ain't giving me any ass, you ain't cleaning up, you ain't doing, like, that's, so that finer distinction helped.
For sure, the information you add to the sentence matters. It's just talking about, try to use you more when you're breaking up with them instead of
I was gonna say we, like we've been struggling, like we haven't done A, B, and C, like we've been struggling with A, B, and C. I would argue that we's even better than you.
Do you think we's better than I?
Yes.
I think that we is probably the most used, right? Like, don't most people probably say, like, hey, we haven't been doing this, because you're kind of like just making a little bit more inclusive, and I don't know, I would think that most people probably use me more than I'm tired of this.
I don't know. Yeah,
let me throw a curveball.
Yeah,
it's the most watched TV show in America, I think. I can't back
Singer?
Up that stat.
You're gonna talk about The Bachelor?
No, Seinfeld. I mean history.
Well, you're talking about the 90s.
It's not you, it's me. George Costanza's famous line, and I guess that backs up your evidence.
Okay, real quick before we get into the next topic, because we only have like 5 minutes, each of you quickly tell me, how many times have you had to break up with somebody, and how many times have they broken up with you in your life?
I've probably only broken up with like two people.
And is it one person?
I think one person broke up with me.
Marco?
One person cheated on me and never said anything. second person, I broke up with them. Third, broke up with them. And one just kind of ghosted me.
Yeah, we could talk about ghosting as another.
Yeah, I mean, it also depends on like relate, like actual relationships, right? Because you know, it's also easy, like somebody four. you went out with once, then you just kind of stop calling them.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, that's funny, because go ahead, Bert.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I think I've broken up with two or three girls, and one or two have broken up with me. Yeah. Anyways, so, all right, let's get to the last topic, because we only have 5 minutes left.
Let's move on.
All right, moving on.
So the last one is something that you probably would not think about having to do with communication, but I labeled it vehicular rhetoric. And what I mean by that is we tend to think of vehicles, right? Our cars, trucks that we drive around in as just vehicles, right? Like we get in them, they take us to point A to B. But I think that people's vehicles can communicate a lot of things. And what I mean by that is we might think about the color of somebody's car or what specific type it is, right? If somebody pulls up to, I don't know, let's say you hired a lawyer, or let's say you're the girl or guy that you're going to go on a first date with pulls up to your house, there's a big difference between them showing up in a, you know, Hummer,
Lambo,
Hummer, or a Lambo, or a Mini Cooper. And then I also talk about things like things that people like to put in the car, as far as like bumper stickers or like personalized license plates, or parents that love to put the little family figures on the back.
Kill me.
So I guess my first question for you all, let me see. The most interesting question for me is, let's say you're single again and you're going to go on your first date and the girl says, hey, I'll pick you up because I'm getting off work, whatever. They're going to come pick you up. What would you care if they pull up in a, let's say a lowrider with rims, or in a Hummer or a Jeep or a Lamborghini? What would you think about them depending on what car they showed up in?
Well, I think to me, it really wouldn't matter, but it would, like, cause I don't know, cause you're right. Like, I think it does, like, your people's cars do say something about them, even if it's something small. But if somebody showed up in a lowrider, you might be like, oh, that's cool. But you have a totally different perception about that person now, right? Like, you just wrote like a new story about them in your mind versus, yeah, like if it's like some girl you just met at the bar and she was, you know, seemed real nice and real like down to earth, and then she shows up in a freaking Lamborghini, and you're like, okay, right? Like, so like, I don't know, like, I think people like tend to write stories about other people like in their minds, and so I think it would definitely, it might change it a little bit, but it's not like I would care. It's just it like it's just something else that you like now add to, like, this is what I like, another thing I think about this person.
Yeah, Marco.
Damn you, Bert. Now I'm reflecting on all the girls I picked up in a Ford Escort and a red Ford Focus. No, Wally's right. I mean, it has a different vibe, and it gives you a little bit of a little bit of insight, not completely, but maybe even more than a little, but it gives you some insight into who the person is, priorities, I think. Mm-hmm. I would actually prefer the lowrider car over the Benz, like, or the BMW. Like, I would actually prefer that. But it would tell you that. Like, are they relaxed? Are they chill? And it's funny that you say that, because I think when you buy a car, like, you start to recognize your same car, like, at a intersection, or like, oh, there's another Tacoma, or there's another Jeep, or whatever.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed is, it's gonna sound weird, but I kind of, when I see a black Dodge Ram with black rims, like black on black, I always look to see who's driving, and it's always, I don't know. I just wonder, like, am I like this exact same guy, person, like as this person who picked this? Like, you got me thinking, Bert.
Yeah, and so another question I brought up is, right on the surface, let's say somebody came up to us and said, "I'm going to give you a free red Ferrari," right? All of us would be like, "That's awesome! Like, give it to me." But how, like, would you all really want to show up to your job in a red Ferrari?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Me, definitely not showing up at the Toyota garage.
Oh, that's right. You work for Toyota.
but no, because then you got to be freaking Ferrari guy from now on, right?
And what does that mean, Ferrari guy?
Well, like, A,
what does that communicate?
You're freaking, like, you just, I don't know, like, you just think that people look at you differently, right?
But why? Like, why doesn't it?
Because they do, for all the reasons we just talked about. Like, we just said that we would judge somebody, like a girl showing up in a lowrider or a girl showing up in a big jacked up truck. Like, you would think something differently about that person.
Marco, right? what would they think about you if you showed up? Marco's a educator. What would happen if you showed up?
I mean, it would. I'll tell you, I would drive it. I would. But, and those people, I guess anybody in that circle where I work would have those judgments. I would too, the same way. But I would just have to, you would have to compensate or overcompensate a little bit on the story side of how you got it. I would let them drive it. I would say, hey man, I said, you wouldn't believe how I got this. Like, it's incredible. Because then that connects you to them. Like, they would do the same thing. If you tell them the story, like, some dude came up to me, Mark Cuban came up to me and said, I can have this. It was amazing. So if you can make that tell the story a little bit, let them participate with it, which I would totally let them, hey, take it for a spin.
Yeah.
I could salvage it that way. But yeah, I definitely could.
So you would
I can't turn around and sell it?
No.
Like, I can't keep it for like a month and then sell it?
No.
No, it's not part of the deal.
Every day.
It's a Ferrari, man.
What do y'all?
I do have a funny story when you're done about like cars.
Yeah, you're good. You can go.
So like one time, this was like back. I was either in college or like just graduated college, and yeah, I think I was still in college. And we had gone out with some friends, and we were at some bar downtown. And like a friend of theirs was with them, and so me and this girl just start talking, and then, you know, we're hitting it off all night. We're like just talking all night. Mm-hmm. We're like making out inside the freaking bar or whatever.
I remember this story, Wally.
We go, and my buddy's like, hey, we're all gonna go back to my apartment for like an after party. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So she's like, you know, she's with me. We're all like, we leave together and everything. And she goes to go get in my old black truck, the Black Beast. And I had to freaking
well, explain to people what the Black
Beast. It wasn't like a beat up. I mean, it was just an older, like an 86 Nissan truck, and there was a few things that were, you know, maybe coming apart on it a little bit. One of them being the freaking door. So I had to like let her in on the passenger and then like have her like open my door from the inside.
Yeah,
like the driver's side door didn't open. but she didn't even know this yet at this point. So I'm just like walking up, and then she sees my truck and she goes, oh. And then like after that, she stopped talking to me. Like, we go to the after party, she like stopped talking to me like the rest of the night. Like,
wow.
As soon as she saw my truck,
really,
she stopped freaking, like, all
really
my contact was done.
Wow. What was it? Was that the heart of your podcast, on, like that kind of thing?
On that episode?
On the cars, yeah.
Yeah. Just thinking about, because like I said at the beginning, we tend to not think about how cars communicate all sorts of things, but they actually do, and we have to, like, if we like, we want to say it doesn't matter that much, but I guarantee the next time the three of us go looking for a new car, none of us are probably coming back in like a hot pink, you know, Mini Cooper.
Never say never.
But
Texas.
It shouldn't matter. But it does, because we think about what it's saying about us.
Yeah. Think about Texas and just Texas in general. Think about a construction site. You rolled up in a Ford Escort at a construction site, you're a construction worker. I mean, your boys would. I mean, your social
you
social
might be okay
capital
with the Escort.
I think you'd be okay with a Ford.
Because it's like out of necessity, right? But like if you show up with the pink Mini Cooper, then that's a different story.
Yeah.
But also think about, like, I think this was one of the first things you talked about on this topic, was like the bumper stickers. So like, what do you think of somebody who has like just bumper stickers like all over their entire car, right? Like
that person
is like probably so far from like
for some of them
having like a conversation
like
with them that's meaningful.
I guess far left or far right.
It doesn't matter. If they've got, I don't care what they are, if they've got that many.
Well, for me it matters because sometimes I'll see like a really old car and they have bumper stickers like going back to like the 80s, right? I'm like, that's kind of cool. Like they kept this car and they don't care what people think, and you know, they have these views about whatever, if it's about whatever, global warming, or they have a presidential sticker from 88 or something. I'm like, that's kind of cool. But then I'm skewed the other way. If they have stuff on their bumper stickers I just don't agree with, then I'm like, why are you showing stuff?
With me, if I see, like, even if it's the side, like, I could agree with it, but if they've got too many, then I'm already like, all right, this guy, he's too far. It matters way too much to him.
Yeah.
Like, me and him can't have a conversation.
Have y'all ever been bumper sticker people?
No.
You ever had a bumper sticker?
Titans, that's it.
Okay.
What about truck nuts?
Oh, that's a good one. What do y'all think when you see those? Or
I don't know what to think, honestly. What does it mean? Like, is there a useful piece to it? Like tool wise?
It's alpha male machismo.
Oh, that's too much. You're okay, compensating.
And so us being in Texas, and so trucks are big, right? And they're big actually in a lot of states. But Marco has a truck. Do you know people that care very deeply about whether they're going to have a Ford or a Chevy? Because I know there's people like that, right? They're like, I will never drive a Chevy, or I'll never drive a Ford.
Not deeply, but I can say I've heard the debate, but very, very limited. And it's funny, like when it is funny when a truck guy meets a truck guy, and that's a title. A truck guy meets a truck guy. They do talk about it, but like anybody you talk about a truck and Dodge, they're likely going to talk about a Hemi, and then Ford and Chevy, they're always going to battle. But it's very limited. I haven't heard that.
The Tundra's coming up.
Oh, and then the Tundra comes as honestly, hey, the foreign cars are the better ones.
And then now I'm remembering, so as you guys probably know, for several years I had like these small SUVs, like
yes,
a MAP 4 and like a
Jeep Compass.
Yeah, I had a Compass last, so you even remember. What else did I have? The Nissan Rogue. And so friends like would make fun of me, right? Because those aren't seen as like manly enough, right?
I made it funny.
Yeah. And it was funny, like I would laugh about it too, because you know, but it's like something that people think about, right? Like because of the car you have.
Like Kanye has that line, and like my wife really hates this line, but because she drives a RAV4, right?
Yeah.
And like she's basically like her last two cars have been RAV4, so she's driven a RAV4 since the year 2004.
Yeah.
But he had that line that says, like, fuck you think I rap for to push a fucking rap for?
Yeah.
So she fucking, like, hates it, dude. Like, and I'll freaking, like, turn it up when I know it's coming up.
Right. What's funny is my sister had a 4Runner for, like, 12 years. And then she decided she wanted to have something smaller. So she just got a RAV4. And then it made me think about the RAV4 I had. And then just like all the jokes that come with it. And then, yeah,
go ahead, Bert.
No, you go ahead.
I would say like in the hood, dude, think about how much a Crown Vic, how much weight that holds. A Crown Vic? Put like
and
some 20s on a Crown Vic?
Yeah.
Like you're in that societal like upper tier when you put like, it's crazy. But yeah, it's
that's a whole other dynamic, right? Depending on what neighborhood you live in, who your friends are, like what they're gonna think about. Like y'all are saying, like, it'd be awesome if my date rolled up in a lowrider, right? But yeah, in certain neighborhoods, people would like die of embarrassment if their date rolled up in a lowrider. Which is
Wally, roll out to Toyota on Monday with a Crown Vic with 20s on.
That'd be awesome. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to stop there because we're out of time. It was great having y'all as guests. Any last words?
Words.
I'll be ready to participate in episodes 40 to 50 or whatever you got next coming up.
Nice. I'll definitely have to have you all on again.
I'll be ready. And Travis can't come on the next one because he lost credibility. So just finding somebody else. I'll petition three names out there. Nahum Apodaca. When I went to Juarez, I had great conversation with him for like 8 hours, drinking some beers. The second, I would put Marcos Apodaca. And the third, I would put Adrian Apodaca.
Well, my next podcast topic may be about being semi-bilingual and going across the border.
Oh, yeah. I didn't talk about that quite a bit.
All right, guys. I'm going to stop.
All right, fellas. Room.